like Brother Steve, I cannot play a good radio myself. I've adopted that. And all I can do is just watch and marvel and be in awe. And I love good playing and good singing with a touch of God on it. Amen. But it's good to be here. I appreciate all the preaching that we have heard in the past week and day. And just thankful for the help that I have received for my own life, for my family. And it is an oasis. I thank the Lord for camp meeting this morning. Appreciate all that goes into it, all the labor, the work, the planning. And it doesn't just happen overnight. And we're thankful for Calvary Baptist Church. We're thankful for Brother Steve, Brother Rule, Brother Jamie, and all those that have part in this. This morning, I want you to turn with me to 3 John. 3 John. And this is the message that's on my heart. I don't know if you'd call it a camp meeting message, but it's a Bible message, and that'll work. Third John, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." I want to preach this morning for just a few moments on, are you a hinderer or are you a helper? Amen. This morning, I do not want to be a hinderer in any kind of way. Amen. To the work of the Lord. But I want to be a helper as God would help me. To be a helper to others. I want to deal this morning with the hinderer first. We're going to kind of work backwards. I want to deal with the hinderer, the hindrance to the church there. That John was writing to Gaius, and it is obvious that John had tried to write the church, but there was somebody that was intercepting the letter that was written and would not allow this letter to get to the church to be read, even by the elder, the apostle John. And it was a man by the name of Diotrephes. And there are some things about a hinderer in the church. The first thing that I want to point out about Diotrephes, John said that he loveth to have the preeminence among them. You see, a hinderer in the church and in the family of God is somebody who has preeminent thinking. You see, they have a problem this morning, and it is that they want to be first. The word preeminent means to be fond of being first. They want the prestige. They want the power. They want the chief seat. They want the chief place. And Diotrephes is a man who was hungry for power. He was a man who was hungry to control everyone in the church. To the best of my study, Diotrephes wasn't the pastor, but he thought he was the pastor. He was not the one in leadership to rule and to reign, but he assumed that place, and people allowed him to be in that place. And the problem with Diotrephes is that it didn't matter if it was biblical or not. If it was not according to the law of Diotrephes, it would not pass. Diotrephes are in our churches today, and they are a burden and a hindrance, and they keep the work of God from flowing the way that it needs to go. A Diotrephes today can hurt our churches. They are hurting our churches. They are splitting our churches. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 talks about the preeminence of Christ. But Diotrephes is wanting the preeminence. He's wanting to be, if you will, the head of the church. He wants to be the head of the body. And he was wanting the preeminence, and he had the preeminence because he was rejecting those who were serving Christ. This one Diotrephes was one who wanted to soar above others. He wanted to be lofty. He had a haughty spirit, and pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You better be careful if you get pride and the thought of being first and in control in the church. Listen, there's been enough preaching on about being humble and about being lowly in the church today, and our churches need some servants today. Our churches need people that'll get down under and look up to Christ and respect their place in the service of the Lord. I want to say this morning, there's a lot of young preachers, even older preachers, that'll go into a church, and when they get into that new church, they'll run right smack into a Diotrephes who is just ready for them, and they'll devour them, they'll chew them up, they'll criticize them, they'll pull them aside and have all of these kinds of talks, and they'll just let them know that they're there and they're the ones they're going to have to go through. Hey, it ought not to be that way in the house of God. Amen. When God calls a man to the church, thank God he has called him to a place of leadership and a place of pastoral authority as the Holy Spirit leads him within that church. Our churches don't need any more Diotrephes today. Instead, we need some Gaiuses in the church. We need some servants today who will love and to do that which God has called them to do. But in our churches today, young preachers, I know there's some young pastors here, and you went in seeking to serve the Lord. You went in praying, and you went in excited. You dreamed of the moment that God would allow you to be a pastor, and you were ready to be used of God, and you were ready to share your life. You were ready to pour in everything that you had for the cause of Christ, and then you get hit with a Diotrephes. They're contrary to Christianity. They're contrary to truth. They're contrary to loving the brethren. They are contrary unto God's men. I mean, Diotrephes would not even allow the letter of the Apostle John to come in and be given unto the church. And somehow Diotrephes managed to wiggle his way around and to get into this place of position into the church. Hey, you better be careful who you appoint into leadership. You better watch them for a while. Don't just let them come in and just assume the role. You better watch them, and you better pray about it, and you better seek the Lord about the matter of leadership within the church. This man Diotrephes was proud. He was self-righteous. He knew no bounds. In order to keep the power, he would reject anybody because he was greedy for power. Why? Because he loved himself. Hey, you know what will get you in trouble this morning? You will. If you allow yourself to get in the way this morning, you will find yourself in trouble. This man Diotrephes was not loving. He was not compassionate. He did not have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says that he loveth in verse number 9, which was in the present tense. It's the present tense, meaning it was the pattern for his life. It was habitual for him to bring in people, chew them up, spit them out, and to give other headaches. I don't know about you, but I don't like headaches. Amen. I don't like them whatsoever. And I know as a pastor, you're going to face headaches in the pastorate. I understand that, and that comes with the territory. But I'll tell you what, we don't need any more Diotrephes. I can tell you that today. I can hear the cries of pastors and workers and laborers this morning from the church. And maybe you've already thought, well, man, there's a guy in my church. Hey, there can be a woman in the church that causes division this morning. And then a family in the
the church. The preeminence is their objective, and worship is not their objective. They are more interested in how the money is being handled. They're more interested in who gets to teach the Sunday school class. They're more interested in who gets to take up the offering. They're more interested in how long the preacher's going to preach. I want to tell you what worship ought to be at the forefront of our services. Amen. You ought not to hit your pastor up about all these needs. He's got one thing on his mind, and that's worship and preaching the gospel whenever he comes into the house of God. Oh, the Diotrephes wanted control. Not only did he want preeminence, but notice also in verse number 10, John says, wherefore, if I come, he said, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. I'll tell you what John said. You just wait till I get there, buddy. He said, I will not forget Diotrephes. And he said, when I get there, buddy, you best believe that I'm going to get to him head on, and we're going to go to business, and we're going to have a talk. Let me just say that discipline in the church is still biblical today. Not only that, but prating. He was prating against us with malicious words. You know what a Diotrephes is? A hinder in the church. They have prating talk. That means that they're gossipers. It means that they falsely accuse other people. And that's how a Diotrephes will gain trust. They will talk about people falsely in order to cast down other people's reputation, to build up their reputation. A Diotrephes has prating talk. They run people down. They eat them for lunch. And they will assume authority. And they absolutely love it. Did you know there's people that go to church, Brother Dana, and they just love to see what's going on in other people's lives. And they like to run out and they like to tattle. They like to tattle on others. You know what so-and-so's doing? Did you know what happened in their home? Did you know what their boy did? Do you know what happened to their girl? I want to tell you what. I've said this before. My wife has a rule in her first grade classroom, and it is this. Don't be a tattletale. Hey, we need to hold up a sign in the church that says, don't be a tattletale. Amen. Hey, we don't need a tattle. We need to worship. We need to exhort, and we need to encourage one another. Amen. Amen. Don't be a tattletale. They look at people as if they're the problem. Hey, they need to look in the mirror. It's the other way around. Let me say something else about them. They not only have prating talk, but they have punishing tactics. Look at this. As if that was not enough, John says, and not content therewith. Hey, it wasn't enough for them to not allow leadership in. It was enough for them to be preeminent and to have prating talk and gossipers, but they had punishing tactics. Whoever was coming in to preach the gospel, whoever it was that was visiting and had been sent, they were ready to seek them. They were ready to destroy them. They wanted to undermine them. They would not receive the brethren and those who wanted to come in to preach the word, to be a help and an encouragement, and they would not allow them in. He said, and not content with therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. They received to welcome the faithful brethren who came to preach. They saw him as a threat. Listen, it don't matter if you're on the inside with a Diotrephes. They'll run you over, buddy. And if you're on the outside of a Diotrephes, you'll stay on the outside. You will not be led in. I'm just here to tell you this morning, a Diotrephes in a church will struggle to grow. A church will struggle. A church split means nothing to a Diotrephes. Means absolutely nothing. Did you know a Diotrephes can scar a preacher for the rest of their ministry? I just want to say, if there's a Diotrephes out here this morning, you need to repent and get right with the Lord. You may be a wolf here seated among sheep this morning, but God help you today. The Diotrephes, they've been part of several church splits. You know that? They'll go to the next church and they'll do the same thing. And they'll sow the seeds of dissension among the church. Diotrephes are members who have a sense of entitlement. Is that not the culture we live in today? We think we're entitled to everything. And the Diotrephes just thinks they're entitled to run the show. Title to it instead of having an attitude of service. Beware if they don't get their way, even on the little issues. Did you know in Diotrephes, well, some people run some people right out of the church? And did you know that the people they run off, they will never step foot back in another church? You say, well, that's not right. I know people who have not stepped back into church because of Diotrephes. I'm just wondering this morning, are you a hinderer? Are you a helper? Let's get to the helper this morning, can I? I've been waiting to get to Gaius. John said the elder in verse 1, and to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Do you know one thing about Gaius? He was fit spiritually. Gaius was fit spiritually in his life. He was right with the Lord. He was the beloved of Christ. He was loved by the community. And the Bible shows us right here that the Apostle John loved this man Gaius. You know why he was loved? He was loved because the Bible says, because of the truth. Did you know that's the sphere of which we love each other today? And our existence of love is because of the truth. We love each other today. That's what's so great about the true church. We love each other today because there's a pulling together because of the truth, and that is of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by grace through faith. We love today because of the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. 1 John 4, John said this, beloved, let us love one another. Hey, it'd be all right to love each other this morning. Why? For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There was a love because of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Gaius was seen to be somebody who was fit spiritually in his life. It says in verse number 2, he said, even as thy soul prospereth. It was constant. It was present. It means that he possessed a successful spiritual life. Now I want you to see this. It says here, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. You know what John, the Apostle John, prayed for Gaius? He said, just as much as you are fit spiritually in your life, he's saying, I'm praying for you that you'll remain in good health for the service of the Lord. Now, Brother Steve said, I lived out here for a little while and thanked the Lord for it. But I want to tell you what, there are many a days when I walked out of that house and I looked over here, Brother Steve, to this campground, and all I could do was pray, Lord, keep Brother Steve in a way that he can continue to run this camp meeting until Jesus comes. That was my prayer. I said, Lord, keep him there. Lord, keep him in good health. Lord, help him to keep his mind. Lord, help him to be stable and to be able to discern and have wisdom and line up all the preachers and do all the back work today. I'm praying for Calvary Baptist that the Lord will continue to bless these men and bless these women and bless the sound booth and all these musicians, that this camp meeting can keep on going on and going on. I'm praying that God will allow us to continue. I'm praying for evangelists like Brother Dana Williams, that God will keep them in good health. Why? For the truth's sake, so that the gospel can be presented and carried out into the world. I'm praying for you, Pastor, today, that God will allow you to preach until you can't preach no more. And when that time comes that we have to lay her down and go to heaven, thank God somebody younger will step in and be able to carry out the gospel message. Oh, John wasn't jealous of Gaius. No, John was thankful of Gaius. And this morning, I'm thankful for the church today. I'm thankful for people that'll preach the truth and that'll live out the gospel today. I'm not trying to out-preach somebody. I just come to try to get help this morning. And listen, you ought to be a Gaius today. And you ought to prosper. You ought to pray like John for the men of God. Amen. You ought to pray that thy soul prospereth. You ought to pray that their health would be good. Amen. Hey, it's in the Bible. I'm not preaching a health and wealth message. I'm just telling you what the Apostle John prayed this morning. It's all right. I'm glad Brother Rule's getting to sit over here. I'm glad, I thought the first service, I'm glad God allowed you to be here one more year, Brother Rule. Amen. I'm glad you're there this morning. You keep showing that cane. When people get a touch of God, I watched him last week. And I mean, the preacher was preaching and got happy, and Brother Rule getting a little happy. He got to throwing that cane up. I'll tell you what, y'all not take that for granted this morning. Amen. When God moves on the saints of God, you ought to be glad they're able to do it this morning. One day they'll be gone. But oh, I'm glad they're in health this morning to be here. Amen. Oh, thank God for some fit spiritual Christians. Oh, pray like John prayed. Not only was he that, he was fit. Listen, it says in verse 3, even as thou walkest in the truth. That means he was just living out the truth. He was living out the word to the best of his ability. Didn't mean Gaius was perfect, but he tried to live out a godly Christian life. And that's what matters this morning, is not about, and not about a lot of these things. It's about allowing the truth of the word to control our lives. And John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I'll tell you what, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. You have grown children. I don't have grown children yet. But is it a blessing whenever you look at your children that are grown and see them doing and living for God? You ought to be thankful for that this morning. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are doing well. Amen. And listen, if my people walk out Wednesday and Sunday and they don't tell me they enjoyed the message, but I know they're out there living for the Lord and trying to live a life pleasing unto Him, that's all right by me. Amen. Sometimes you don't enjoy the preaching, because it'll get you right here. It's okay. Preacher, don't go home and say, well, they didn't tell me they enjoyed my preaching. Hey, God might have spoke to their heart. Fit spiritually. Not only was he fit spiritually, I just want to say he was faithful. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. You know what old Gaius did? Whenever the visiting evangelist came in, whenever the visiting missionary and preachers came in, Gaius was the first one to meet them when they got into town. They said, brother, it's good to have you with us this week. We're glad to have you. Listen, you don't have to worry about where you're going to room. You're going to stay at my house. And brother, you don't have to worry about eating this week, because my wife's got the cupboard full. We got you taken care of. And preacher, if you need some more clothes, we got you covered. We want to take care of you. And preacher, we know it's going to be hard in the journey. And preacher, we just want to give you a little bit just to say we're thankful for you. You say, why in the world would he do that? Because the Bible says it didn't take money of the Gentiles, meaning they didn't take money from the pagans of the world. And listen, the church is unique this morning, because men of God, the only way we bring home a check today is because of the child of God, for the Christians that will support and do for them. I'm not out trying to get money from the world. No, I thank God for a church that'll support the preacher. I'm thankful for men and women that'll give in the offering to take care of evangelists and missionaries and those who come to preach their revivals. You say, where in the world did that start? Right there, 3 John. Gaius. You can thank Gaius for that one day when you get to heaven. Amen. Amen. I want to finish with this morning. He wasn't just faithful. I want to finish in verse 8. He said, we therefore ought to receive such. Why? Why should we do that? That we might be, I love this word, fellow helpers to the truth. That word fellow helper, let me define it, means a co-laborer. I like a little more intense word, companion in labor. It means that we're in unity for the gospel's sake. Hey, do you know we're in this thing together this morning? I don't know about you, but I want to be a fellow helper. Amen. And I want to thank the Lord for some Gaiuses this morning that have been a help to me. Amen. And I want to be a Gaius to some people that have been a help to me. When I started at West Lenore School of Ministry several years ago, around 07, 08, we were in chapel one day, and Preacher Lockheed stood up. He said, "Fellas," he said, "we got here a book sent to us from a writer out up in Illinois." He said his name's Dr. Rod Mattoon. He said, and he's sitting down here to our school. He said he wants our preachers to have a book, and he gave us a book on the book of Esther. And I remember sending you an email and thanking you for that. And then in 2010, Brother Mattoon came to camp meeting and he gave out one book to preachers. It was the third volume of the book of Psalms. And I want to tell you what, Brother Mattoon didn't have to do that. He could have charged every nickel and dime, but I'll tell you what, he wanted to be a fellow laborer and he wanted to be a help. And I just want to tell you what, brother, I appreciate you this morning. God bless you. I love you. Thank you, preacher. Amen. I just want to be a Gaius to some people that's been a Gaius to me. I started coming to camp meeting when I was a late teenager. I'm thankful for that. But I got to hearing an evangelist, and he started coming to our home church there at Poplar and preaching some Sundays. Then he started preaching at camp meeting. Every time I heard him, I just kept enjoying him more and more and more. And every time somebody asked me about him, I said, "I'll just tell you, I don't know if there's a prime for preaching." I said, "But this man is in the prime of his preaching." And I'll tell you what, he got up here one morning, threw water everywhere, and brother, it was party time. Hallelujah. Thank you, preacher. I love you. God bless you. Amen.
That's good, buddy.
This won't be a Gaius this morning. Boy, there's been somebody that's been a help to me, and they're a man of few words. They're a man of few words. They don't say much. But I'll tell you what. That man preached the Word of God faithfully for years, and he preached to my pastor, Brother Rick Seifert, whenever I moved up here. There's a lot of things I heard him preach in those 3 years he was my preacher at Poplar Springs that he gleaned from his pastor. And I want to tell you what I gleaned from his pastor, amen. That was a help to me, and he didn't even know it. He was sowing some good seed, amen, that fell on good ground, and it was taken and carried out unto other people. And I already talked about him, but he's here this morning. I love you, Brother Rule. I appreciate you. I just want to be a Gaius to you this morning and tell you thank you. I appreciate you. Amen. The Sunday before I started pastoring, I went to the fish camp, Jones Fish Camp. Scared to death. I thought, my goodness, here we go. First Sunday's coming. I'm scared to death. I ain't ever done this in my life. All I've done is get to go in and preach and run out and go to the next place. Amen. Amen. But now I was going to be there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And guess what? Whenever you pastor, Monday through Saturday counts too. But there was a man of God in there eating his supper that night. And he said, "I want to tell you something, brother." He said, "Your people will grow as you grow." And then he told me this. He said, "Lovingly lead your people." And I want to tell you that Sunday morning after I got done preaching, I don't remember what I preached, but I do remember when I got to the back door with my wife, I said, "Now's the time that we show them that we love them." And I said, "We will greet every one of them with a handshake and a hug." And I said, "We will let them know that they're loved and they're prayed for." They'd never had a pastor that had done that before. But I said, "We're going to love them. We're going to take care of them." And Brother Jamie, God had you there by providence that day. Thank you for telling me that. God bless you. I love you. I just will be a Gaius. Some people have been a Gaius to me. Then I was a young teenager boy, got done with fall football practice. I was in high school. Down at Castleberry Road in Cumming, Georgia. They said, "We're going to have a visiting evangelist from North Carolina come down and preach by the name of Brother Steve Dagenhart." I went into that service and I was tired. I was wore out. The sun had beat down on me that day. There's a man of God that came in fresh with a touch of God on his life. And he preached that night, God's looking for a man. And he preached on, is it you God's looking for? Now I want to tell you what God knit. He knit our families. And through his family and his son, Brother Josh, Brother Steve, after the Lord surrendered to preach, Brother Steve was a help to me. He came and heard me in one of the first places I ever preached. And after the service, Brother Steve, he said, we're going to go and get you some books. He knew I need some help. Amen. That was wisdom. I needed help. All I had was the Bible. That's good enough. Amen. I needed some help. And then as time has gone on, he's been more than just a preacher. He's been a friend. He's been a father figure to me. He's been an encourager to me in my life. He's been a Gaius to me. He loves preachers. And I love you, preacher. God bless you. I thank you. I want you to have that. I just want to read one last verse and I'm going to my seat. I don't know what you need to do this morning. You might need to go be a Gaius to somebody. Verse 11, 3 John, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God.